Okay, what I'd like to do, first thank you to Mrs. Price for her very kind remarks. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy that we have this opportunity to discuss this issue. You all hear me? Okay, what I would like to do is the following. I'd like to have it give a shiur, and hopefully you all have the source material, plus the additional sheet that came around at the end. You all have that one too. Actually, that was probably the most important part of it, was that last sheet. So what I'd like to do is we're going to go through the sources that I have. The truth is there are more than just this, but it was too much to do at one time. And after we go through it, I have some remarks to say on this topic as well. I think we're all familiar with the fact that, I'll just mention it, that there are two mitzvot with respect to having a family, having children. One is a mitzvah d'oraisa, one is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The mitzvah d'oraisa of Pru'er Vu, which according to Beis Hillel, which is the opinion that we follow, is to have at least one boy and one girl. And of course there's a mitzvah d'rabbanan to have more children, as many, there's no specific amount that's mentioned, but as many as one can, and we'll leave it as that. The question that I think all of us struggle with is, how do we go about fulfilling this mitzvah? The mitzvah d'oraisa as well as the mitzvah d'rabbanan. And I know that what I'm going to be discussing is not the different methods of birth control. That's for a different shiur, and I'm not going to be talking about that at all. So I'm assuming that whatever birth control method is going to be used has to be one which does not involve any aveira of hashchasa zera levatala. So assuming that the method that is used is one that does not involve other averos, what I want to talk about is, and what the shiurs and the sources that I've given you are about, is one allowed to delay in performing these two mitzvot, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Pru'er Vu and the mitzvah d'rabbanan? Is there any issue about delaying? Is that something which is usher to do? And what I'm going to try to show you is that there is not one opinion on this. It's a machlokas harishonim, which is what I want to show you. And we're going to see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. And let me just present the different issues. There are two issues. Actually, there's a third, but it's just I couldn't do it all at the same time. I'll mention what the third issue is, but the shiur will not be focusing on that third issue. The two issues that I'm focusing on are as follows. One issue is when you have a mitzvah aseh, which Pru'er Vu is, and this is a mitzvah aseh she'ein hazman grama, which means it is not time-bound, which means if you fulfill the mitzvah when you're 20 or you fulfill it when you're 50, it's the same kiyum ha-mitzvah. It's not that the kiyum ha-mitzvah is any less if you fulfill it when you're older than when you were younger. The question is, if somebody delays in trying to fulfill a mitzvah saseh she'en hazman grama, is that considered to be a bittul of that mitzvah? In other words, the following. Clearly, if and when I do fulfill it, I have fulfilled the mitzvah b'shleimusa, 100%. The question only is, if I delay, is the delay itself considered a temporary bittul of the mitzvah? So that for every day or week or month, whatever time period you talk about, that I am delaying, am I in fact being mevatel the mitzvah for those days, weeks, months, etc., or not? That is one issue which we're going to see is discussed by Rishonim, and we'll see it was discussed at great length by the Chazon Ish. which is what we're going to do. Another issue, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which has been talked about quite a bit, that is the issue of Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvah, that we know that there's a concept that mitzvot that are to be, that one needs to perform, Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvah says that we should try to perform them in a very conscientious way at the earliest possible opportunity. That's why, let's say, at a bris milah, which has to be on the eighth day, we try to have it as early as possible. We don't schedule it for the afternoon, because Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvah, we try to do it first thing in the morning. And of course, we know this from Avraham Avinu. So this is a well-known dictum. The question is, though, should it apply here, and how does it affect these two mitzvot, the mitzvah d'oraisa and the mitzvah d'rabbanan of having children? Okay, there's a third issue, which, as I said, we just don't have the time for, which is discussed in Gemara, and that is whether chayshinan lemisa, which all sounds a little bit strange, but it is discussed as to whether that if one delays in performing a mitzvah, should we take into account the fact that maybe he won't be here, or he or she won't be here tomorrow to fulfill that mitzvah, because maybe he or she will die. So by postponing the mitzvah, you run the risk that of never fulfilling that mitzvah. Is that something that needs to be taken into account? That issue is discussed, but we just don't have, I don't have the time to do it with you tonight, but we will be discussing the other two issues. Okay, the first thing that I want to do with you, I mean, hopefully everything is pretty much in order. Okay. On the first page is from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wrote, I'm sure, if you're not familiar with it, he wrote commentaries pretty much to all of Shas. And this, very strange, is the part that I have is the end of his commentary to Negayim, Maseches Negayim, which deals with leprosy. And at the end of this, this is where this piece is coming from. And here the Chazon Ish raises this very question that I just mentioned to you, and that is, if you have a mitzvah saseh she'en azman groma, now he is not discussing pruvu, not at all. He is talking in general. If you have a mitzvah saseh she'en azman groma, if you delay in performing that mitzvah, is that a bittul of the mitzvah itself? Now we're going to go through it, and I have to tell you that I have seen this Chazon Ish cited in articles, or one article in particular, and it was cited all wrong. And I don't know what to say. It was cited, not only was it wrong, it was just the opposite of what he says, and you'll see it yourself. I can't explain it. So this Chazon Ish, I think, is important for everyone to see. So we'll read it together. He says, V'yesh la'ayin b'mitzvah she'ein zmana kavua. We need to look into a mitzvah that does not have a set time to fulfill it. Me'ein masai ka'avar Allah. When would a person be violating that mitzvah, a mitzvah that is not time bound? V'hinei b'moed katan d'abzayin l'mideiz, yalfinan d'mamtinan l'dvar mitzvah u'dvar rishus. V'ikol l'man d'omar d'ein mamtinan l'dvar rishus. The Gemara Moed Katan, this is why it's in the Goyim, because the Gemara Moed Katan is discussing the following halacha. We know that when it comes to tzaras, leprosy, who is the person that needs to examine it to determine whether the person has tzaras or not? It's the Kohen. And what the Gemara discusses is, and we know that whatever the Kohen determines, that will be the condition that the person will find himself in. If he determines that it is leprosy, then he'll be hatzaras. The question that the Gemara Moed Katan discusses is, can the Kohen delay? Can he delay in examining the person with tzaras, or who allegedly has tzaras? Is it allowed to delay? And the Gemara there was discussing whether is he allowed to delay l'dvar mitzvah. And the particular example was, let's say it's yontif, it's moed. And the question is, you know, maybe we don't want to destroy a person's simchat yontif. If we examine, if the Kohen examines him and finds that he has saras, that will, you know, it'll take away from simchat yontif. So maybe l'shem mitzvah simchat yontif, maybe the Kohen should not examine the person and put it off until after yontif is over. Or what about l'dvar rishus? Let's say if there would be a hefsed mamon, some loss of money, some not a mitzvah reason. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara about it, and these two opinions as to whether only, so what the Gemara there says is, one opinion says only l'dvar mitzvah, the other opinion says even l'dvar rishus. But both opinions derive it from a pasuk. And that's the important thing, that they derive from a pasuk that the Kohen is allowed to delay. Okay? Now let's see, the question is, what should be inferred from that? The fact that the Gemara needed a pasuk to learn out from it that the Kohen is allowed to delay. But again, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's only l'dvar mitzvah or even l'dvar rishus. So it says, so, u'mashma l'chora, din mishtahe bishvil hefseid mamon, let me just back it up. Vikal mandomar dein mamtinim l'dvar rishus. I'm sorry, to go back there. So according to that mandomar who says that you cannot delay for dvar rishus, u'mashma l'chora din mishtahe bishvil hefseid mamon over ba'aseh. So what would be if you hold like the opinion that says that only for dvar mitzvah can the Kohen delay? Now what would be if he delayed l'dvar rishus? So says the Chazon Ish, then he would be violating the assay of the Torah, which I say, the assay that says that a Kohen is supposed to examine those people who have saras. The yin kang, the chol mitzvot deleka kra, demamtin and ledvar harashus over miyad. Well, the conclusion, this is his initial conclusion, is that it should come out that any mitzvah where there is no pasuk to derive what? To learn out that it's okay to delay. So if you don't have a pasuk, mashma, that it's not okay to delay. And therefore any delay, see, the Chazon Ish is assuming, would actually be a bittul of that mitzvah for as long as the delay occurs. Umihu matzinu b'chalitza v'yibum she'eino chayiv miyad. However, we find in the Gemara, actually it's going to come up a little bit later also, that with regard to the mitzvah of chalitza or yibum, we don't find that any delay is actually considered to be a bittul of that mitzvah. The aminim psochem dalet amir aleph she'mamtin eino over rak mishum zirus. The Gemara in Pesachim also says, with respect to Mila, that if somebody delays, means like within the eighth day, instead of doing it first thing in the morning, he does it later in the day. The Gemara says that the only issue to be concerned with is what? It's not a bittul of the mitzvah of Mila that's occurring. It's only a question of Zriza Matim in the mitzvah. But it doesn't sound that there's a bittul of the mitzvah for those minutes and hours that you delayed on the eighth day before you performed the mitzvah of Mila. Umihu hasam the mitzvah shezmana kavua, vare omr torah she'ena over achiyavar hayom. Of course, that Gemara Pesachim that talks about Mila, one could distinguish and say, well, that maybe is different, because there the Torah specifically says to do it on the eighth day. So it could be that until the eighth day is over, even if you didn't adhere to Zriza Makdim and LeMitzvah, but you did not actually be Mevatel the Mitzvah, because the Torah says you have all day. The eighth day is the day to perform the Mitzvah. So where is he holding right now? Right now he is thinking that by Saras, where there was a Pasuk from where we know that a delay is okay, Mashma, that if you don't have a Pasuk, a delay would actually be Aser. And to the Chazon Ish, Aser would mean that you're actually being mevatel the mitzvah for every day, week, whatever it is, that you're not going to be fulfilling that mitzvah. But then the Chazon Ish continues. Umihu nira de bechol mitzvah she'ein zman kavua mamtim bein ledvar mitzvah bein lehesed mamon. However, says the Chazon Ish, he feels that any mitzvah that the zman is not kavua, meaning it's not time bound, one can wait, whether for dvar mitzvah purposes or even lehetzed mamon, which is not a mitzvah. V'hod itzterich krob in a goyim. The question then is, if it's basically mutter to delay for any mitzvah, then why did the Gemara in Moed Katan need a pasuk to let us know that the Kohen can delay if it's universally accepted that for any mitzvah sase shein hazman grama you're allowed to delay? So why was the pasuk needed in Moed Katan, the Gemara in Moed Katan? So it says the Chazon Ish, the chamire tvei, the chayev al ketzi soso, ketzi soso, uksiv vuhu hishomer. So says the Chazon Ish, well maybe you know I needed the pasuk, because I might have thought that the din of tzaras is more chomer than other mitzvot asay. Why should it be more chomer? Well, he mentions the fact that the Torah prohibits from surgically cutting away the sign of leprosy that's on the body, on the skin. And the Torah says he's shomer. You have to make sure that nothing, that you don't try to inflict yourself in some way to get rid of that sign of leprosy. So maybe the fact that the Torah is so machmir with regard to leprosy, so maybe then I might have thought that with regard to this mitzvah, a delay would be usher. So I need a pasuk to tell me that it's mutter. But that's only because of tzaras, because of the chomer nature of tzaras, it requires a pasuk. But maybe for the other mitzvahs that don't have these kinds of chumra, a pasuk is not necessary, because that's the universal halacha that for mitzvah cessation as man grama, a delay is okay. Inami, or another way to explain it, why we need the pasuk, inami kro ashme'inan demamtin ve'en bo mishum zirus. Or maybe you can explain differently, that the truth is that it's universally accepted that for any mitzvah cessation as man grama, a delay is permitted. Why do we need a pasuk by tzaras? Excuse me. The answer is to let you know that the dictum of zrizin madimin lemitzvah, which normally applies to all mitzvos, does not apply to this mitzvah of tzaras. That with regard to tzaras, it's not that if you delay, you're not being mekayim zrizin madimin lemitzvah. Zrizin madimin lemitzvah doesn't apply to this mitzvah. Maybe that's what the pasuk is teaching me. And we're going to go on a little bit more. This is the position of the Chazon Ish. Now, I have seen this quoted the exact opposite. That the Chazon Ish says, quoting, that postponing a mitzvah sasesha, shein hazman grama, is usur. And that you're being mevatel the mitzvah in so doing. Okay? If you come across this article, you'll know what I mean. Okay. And he goes, let's go a little bit further. Ukid Omar Avuhu Adin Bishar Mitzvot Mamtin Lidvar Mitzvah Udvar Rishus. Ukid Omar Nidarm Daflamidays, the Moshe Shanana Shanisasek Bamolan Tchila, Nichlau the Mutamin Adin. The Gemara says that Moshe, when he went to Mitzrayim, he left Midyan and he was traveling to Mitzrayim, and a very strange episode occurred in the Torah that a Malach came and wanted to kill him. Exactly what was going on, because he didn't circumcise his son. And so the Gemara says, Moshe was punished. Why? Because when he was traveling along the way, when he came into an inn, I guess, to settle for the evening or whatever, he took care of that first before he took care of the milah. So I think the Chazon Ish is saying, it sounds like that this was something special that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have done, and that he was punished for it. But min hadin, it would have been mutter to be mesasek b'molon tchila. Umihu im mesasek b'lo tam. Now he goes even further. What will be if a person delays for no reason at all? No reason. He's lazy. Efshar de over ba'aseh. So then he suggests, well, maybe then he would be violating the aseh. And again, what does it mean to violate the aseh? That there's a bittul of the mitzvah for every moment, day, whatever time unit you work with, that he is not fulfilling the mitzvah. However, the efshar, the chol shedato l'kaima, eino over ba'aseh. Ukein shekosvu tosis psochim chotes upon the days, the masha chomets amanat levaro. The Tosfos says, we know that one is not allowed to own chomets during Pesach, and if one does, one violates bayra bayimotze. So what would be if a person has chomets, but he doesn't destroy it, he purposely does not destroy his chametz, and he's keeping it into Pesach, but in the back of his mind, his plan is that he is going to destroy it. Let's say maybe Chol HaMoed, he'll do it. He doesn't want to do it before Pesach, and he goes into Pesach having this plan that he's going to destroy it, let's say during Chol HaMoed. But he had the chametz during the first few days of Pesach. Did he violate Bayra Bayimotze? So says Tosfos, no. Since his intention was to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, granted he doesn't have really a good reason why he's not doing it before Pesach like everybody else, but the very fact that he's planning on doing it later, therefore the delay in fulfilling that mitzvah is not a violation of the mitzvah. So therefore says the Chazon Ish, maybe the same thing should be true for every mitzvah saseh, Shena's man grama, that even a delay for no reason at all is not a violation of that mitzvah. I mean, the rest of the Chazon Ish, I'm not going to read with you, it gets very involved, but you can do it yourself, you'll see, he doesn't change from this opinion. And his final opinion is that for a mitzvah saseh, Shena's man grama, he does not feel that a delay in the fulfillment of that mitzvah is a violation of the mitzvah itself. Okay? Let's move on. If you turn to page 2, what I gave you here was the very famous Mishnah, and there's a, which I just want to show you, and then we're going to go through a Gemara that's related to that mitzvah. So the Mishnah says, Lo yivato adam mipirya v'rivya, ela imken yesh lo banim. A person has to be involved in the mitzvah of pirya v'rivya until he has children. Beishamay omrim shnei zacharim, ubeisilo omrim zachar nekeva. So, and of course, we paskin like Beisilo. And let's right away go into the next piece. This is a Gemara in Kiddushin, as you can see, Daf Chavtes. Mishtabeach le Rav Chizda le Rav Huna b'derav hamenuna de Adam gadol hu. Gemara says that Rav Chizda was praising to Rav Huna the attributes of Rav Hamenuna. That Rav Chizda was telling Rav Huna that Rav Hamenuna was a great man. So Amar le, so Rav Huna said to Rav Chizda, Kishe yavo liyodcha haviyehu liyodi. Okay, when you see him, bring him to me, I want to meet him. Kiyosa, so when he came, when Rav Hamenuna came to Rav Huna, Chazye delo paras sudra, he saw that he was not wearing a sudra on his head. And Rashi explains that the custom was that only married men, I guess, wore a yarmulke, I guess, covered their head, and he wasn't covering his head. So Omar Lei, so Rav Huna said to Rav Hamenuna, my time alo parisa sudra, why aren't you covering your head? So Omar Lei, so he said to him, delo nasivnuka, because I'm not married. So ahadrinu liyate mine, so Rav Huna turned away from him. Omar Lei said to him, chazi delo chazas luhula api adanasvis, I don't want to see you until you get married. And the Gemara goes on to say, Rav Huna litame, and Rav Huna is following his own reasoning. The Omar who said, Ben Esrim Shana, when a man is 20 years old, V'lo Nasa Isha, and he hasn't married, Kol Yomav Ba'avera, all his days are in sin. So asked the Gemara, Barbera Sakadata, what do you mean he's in sin all these days? He's not doing anything. So what do you mean he's in sin all these days? Ela'ema rather say the following, Koyamav Behirhur Aveira. In other words, if he's not married by 20, all his days he's going to have hirhurim, he's going to have sexual urges, which he won't be able to control. And that's the Aveira that Rav Huna has in mind. Omar Rava, V'chein Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Ad Chof Shana, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzapa La'odam, Mosa Yiso Isha, says Rava, quotes from Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, that until the age of 20, God is waiting for a person, for a man to marry a woman. Kevin Shehi Giyah Chof Lonasa, and once he becomes 20 and he doesn't marry, Omer Tipachas Mosov, his bones should swell. Omer Rav Chisda, Haida Adifna Mechazroi, I'm better than my colleagues, my friends. The Nasivna Beshitzar, I got married when I was 16. The Hava Nasivna Barbesar, and if I would have gotten married when I was 14, Hava Amina Lasatan Gira Beinech, I would have been able to say to the Satan that I could defy you, that you're not going to be able to affect me, as the Yetzahara. Omale Ravler of Nassim Barami, Adiyotcha al Tzavrei Debreich, Mishitzar Var Esrim Vitarte. You have control over your son. Literally, it means when your hand is on the neck of your son from the age of 16 to 22. Then you have some control over your son, so you should try to impose upon him to get married. V'amrilei, and some say, mitim nesari ad esrim v'arba. Some say from 18 to 24. And the Gemara says, ketanoi, this is a machlokas tanoim, on the pasuk of Chanoch l'nar al pidarko, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, chadomar mishitzar v'ad esrim v'tartin, one opinion says from 16 to 22, v'chadomar mitim nesari ad esrim v'arba, and others say from 18 to 24. So here you have a Gemara that talks about apparently an age when, the reason why they're talking about the man, because I think you all know that the mitzvah of Puruvu is on the man, it's not on the woman. So the Gemara is here discussing by what age should this man be getting married. Now, offhand, this sounds like a din derabbanan, a min haTorah, there is no such thing as a particular age in which you have to get married. So this sounds like a din derabbanan, that the Gemara wants you to be married by a certain age. Now the question is, why? What exactly is the reason? Now the Gemara, Rav Huna's opening sentence was that if you don't get married by the age of 20, then kol yomav ba'avera, then all his days will be ba'avera, and what avera is that? The Gemara went on to say, hear her avera. So I didn't give it to you. The Meiri learned pshat in the Gemara that what that means is that if you don't marry by that age, then you're going to be afflicted with immoral sexual thoughts all your life, even if after you do get married. As he felt that that's what the Gemara has in mind, that if you don't get married by a certain time, then you'll be afflicted with these immoral sexual thoughts. But what I'm going to show you is that this is not what other Rishonim learn. So all we know from this Gemara is that the Gemara is trying to tell us that they want a young man to be married by a certain time, and he should. Let's take a look at the Rambam to see how he records this halacha. Now the issue of what age, there's a whole difference of opinion as to what the age should be. The Rambam says, so ish mitzuva al piri v'rivya avoloha isha, so what does the Rambam say? A man is commanded on the mitzvah but not the woman, and from when is he chayiv in this mitzvah? He's chayiv from the age of 17. That's what the Rambam had. The kevan sha'avru esrim shana, and when he reaches his 20th birthday, the lo nasa isha, and he has not yet married. So apparently the window of opportunity to marry is from the age from 17 to 20. But starting at the age of 17, that's when he should think about getting married, and if he's not married by the age of 20, harei ze over umevatel mitzvah saseh. Very strong words. What is the Rambam saying? That if he violates this, violates what? What has he done? He didn't marry by the age of 20. Then he is violating and being mevatel this mitzvah saseh of purvu. Now, let me just, now does that mean what? And if he got married later on and had children, he's not mekayem the mitzvah of purvu? What does the Rambam mean? Can't mean that. So what is he saying? That a delay. Now, of course, the age from 17 to 20, this is an age that Chazal came up with. They felt that that's the time, that's the ideal time for a young man to get married. Now, once he passes that time, he is now being mevatel the mitzvah for as long as the delay occurs. This is what the Rambam is saying. V'mhoya osek b'torah, v'torah ba, v'hoya misyore milisa isha kadesh lo yitrach b'mizono z'yiboto min ha-torah, hareza muta l'zacher. So says the Rambam that if he's involved in Torah study and he's worried that if he gets married and he'll have to support his wife and future children and it will take away from his learning, then this person is allowed to delay. Shehosek the mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah kol shekein b'talmud Torah, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so important that what, since he's involved in Talmud Torah, he would be patur for the mitzvah of purvu. But otherwise, if he's not involved in Torah study and he delays beyond the age of 20, says the Rambam, he is mevatel of the mitzvah saseh of purvu. Let's continue. So just before, so what this means then is now that's probably how we understood the Gemara that I just read before, that this age, what's the problem? That what is the Avera? In other words, according to the Rambam, you go beyond the age limit, you're being mevatel the mitzvah itself. Not the way the Meiri learned that you'll have these immoral urges for the rest of your life. No, if you delay beyond that age, whatever the age is, you're being mevatel the mitzvah. But take a look now at the Rush, the way the Rush records the halacha. V'chein, the next citation, this is the Rush, as you can see in the Sechet Yevamos. V'chein hayanachon b'ravok she'ovru olav etrim shana ve'eino rotze lisa isha she'yichfuhu bezden lisa L'kayem Piri of Arivia. He says the Rush, that someone who is a bachelor, is not married, and he's now past the age of 20. Now the question says, the Eino Rotze Lisa, he doesn't want to get married. So then the din is, Bez Din can force him to get married. That's what it says. Now, what's interesting is, how do you interpret the phrase, the Eino Rotze Lisa, he doesn't want to get married? If you look at the Rambam, if you compare the language of the Rambam with the Rush, what did the Rambam say? He said that once he reaches the age of 20, right? Look back a second. V'lo nasa isha, and he simply did not marry. The Rambam goes on to say that he was mevatel the mitzvah purvu. Now, the Rush says, he reached the age of 20. Ve'eino rotze lisa. Now, I don't know what I would have made of it. Maybe saying the same thing as the Rambam, maybe he's saying something different. But what I'm going to show you is that the Pischei Tshuva, which understood this in a very specific way. And let's keep going. Now, we're going to look at now the Shulchan Aruch, which is the next citation, and notice how the Shulchan Aruch records the halacha. Whether he uses the language of the Rambam or he uses the language of the Rush. He says, Mitzvah al kol adam sheyisa isha ben yudches v'hamakim isha ben yudgim mitzvah min ha-mufvah. That there's a mitzvah on every person to marry at the age of 18, and if he can marry even earlier, at the age of 13, it's a mitzvah min ha-mufchar. Avo kodem yud gimel lo yisa da habikis nos. But you should not get married before 13. Ubishum inyan lo ya'avor me'etrim shana b'lo isha. He should not go beyond his 20th birthday without having a wife. Umi sha'avru Allah chav shana. If somebody reaches the age of 20, ve'eno rotze lisa, and he doesn't want to marry, bezdin kofeno so lisa kidei l'kayim mitzvah peri v'rivya. Clearly, which the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch, is citing the Rush. The Rush. Umihu im osek batora v'torud ba. Umisyore lisa isha kidei shlo yitraf bin zono v'yisbatom en hatora. However, now this, where did that come from? That wasn't the Rambam. It's very interesting that he's quoting from the Rambam, but the part where he talked about, you know, what happens if you let 20 years go by and you don't get married, he uses the language of the Rush and not the language of the Rambam. Now what is he saying if you are involved in Torah study and you're afraid that by getting married and having the responsibility of supporting a wife and family, you won't be able to learn Torah? Mutar lehis acher. One would be permitted then to delay in fulfilling the mitzvah. We got this? Now, in the sheet that, the single sheet that came around at the end, if you turn to it, towards the bottom, if you notice, I, about three quarters of the way down the page, where I cite the Pisrei Tshuva, this is the Pisrei Tshuva on this Se'if of the Rambam that we just read. Pisrei Tshuva Evan HaEzra Siman Aleph Sif Katan Hey. V'kotav Od B'Maharikash. The Maharikash was Rav Yaakov Castro. He was 16th century. He lived in Egypt. He wrote Sfarim, and he had contact with the Machaber, with Yosef Karo. Actually, I think he even went to Tzfas, you know, and spent time with Rav Yosef Karo. I think Rav Yosef Karo was older. And this Rav Yaakov Castro wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And that's where this is coming from, the Pisrei Tshuva is quoting from. Because of all the Maharikash dictate Lashon HaMachaber, that the Maharikash was medaktek the language of the Machaber, which language? The phrase Ve'eino Rotze Lisa. That very phrase that we pointed out before. Demashma Shimrotze Eloshe Misakev Ad Sheyimso Zivug Na'a Olesiba Acheres Lo Kaifinamoy. So says the Rav Yaakov Castro that he thinks that in the Machaber, when the Machaber said he doesn't want to marry, which actually is coming from the Rush, that he doesn't want to marry, what does that mean, he doesn't want to marry? Says that, how does he interpret it? He doesn't want to marry at all. That's what the Maharikash thinks the Machaber meant. He doesn't want to marry at all, but if he does want to marry, but he simply wants to delay, either because until he finds the right mate, or for some other reason, then lo kaifinan lei. Then we will not force him to get married now. And the question that we immediately want to ask, what does it mean that we don't force him? Does that mean it's really usur, but we just don't force him? Or does he mean that it's actually mutar? If you look at the bottom of the page from the Osir HaPoskim, the Osir HaPoskim quotes from this Maharikash, but look how he quotes it. See at the very bottom of the page? This is the Osir HaPoskim on that same spot in the Shulchan Aruch, the last two lines. Avo imrotze elisha misakev ad sheyimso zivug noa olusiba acheres ayin pisrei tshuva sivkot nehe b'shem Maharikash shemuter lehisacher. So it's very clear that the way the Osir HaPoskim understood this Pisrei Tshuva, the Maharikash, was that a delay is muter. So it would then come out that would then come out if we accept the pshat of the Pesachei Tshuva and his understanding of the Mechaber, that we have a very fundamental machlokus between the Rosh and the Rambam about what? Whether a delay in this mitzvah saseh of Pruer Vu is a delay considered to be a bittul of the mitzvah itself. What do I mean by a delay? A delay means you want to be mekayim the mitzvah. You have every intention of being mekayim the mitzvah, but you are delaying. For whatever reason, either because you haven't found the right person yet, or for some other reason. Says, according to the Rambam, that would be a violation of the mitzvah itself, and according to the Rosh, which is what the Mechaber, which is the way the Pesachei Tshuva understood it, it would be mutter. Now, if this is the correct shot, let's go back to page 2 again. I don't know, how long do you want to go? Because I have a lot yet to do, so I'm willing to stay if you are. Okay. If you go back to the Shulchan Aruch, let's reread the Shulchan Aruch and see if this makes sense. Again, this is page 2 again. Says the Shulchan Aruch, again, towards the bottom, Mitzvah kol adam she'isa isha ben yudches, v'amatem isha ben yudgimel mitzvah men amuchar, avokodem yudgimel lo yisa fine, u'bishum inyan lo yavar me'asrim shana v'lo isha, u'nisha avru olav chav shana, v'ena rosa lisa, bezim kofen osa lisa, kedei l'kayim mitzvah periyot v'rivya. Now, according to the Pesachei Tshuva learns Pshat, what does that mean? He doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want to get married, that's what it means. But if he wants to get married, but he wants to delay, then that's okay. Isn't that right? Well, keep reading the Shulchan Aruch. Mihu, and most like the Torah, umitziore lisa isha kadesh lo yitzrach b'mizanovi, espalta mena Torah, muta lehisacher. What does this mean then? If you have somebody who's studying Torah and he doesn't want to be mevatel from Torah study, and he's afraid that by getting married he'll have to be mevatel from Torah study, then he's allowed to delay. Now clearly the Shulchan Aruch is distinguishing between what and what, between a person who is involved in Torah study and someone who's not. Now if we understood that the average person, according to the Pesachei Tshuva, is allowed to delay, so what's the Mechaber talking about when he says now that if you're involved in Torah study, oh, you can delay? So if you take a look, so that's what bothered me, I was looking around, I found if you take a look at the Beis Shmuel, which is at the bottom, the last citation, look at the Beis Shmuel is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, on Muta Lis Acher, this is on the Muta Lis Acher of the person who is involved in Torah study. Kach Kotov HaRambam V'hu She'en Yitzro Mitzgaber Olav. Of course, all this is okay that he could delay, provided that that his Yetzirah is not getting the better of him. The Harosh Kosav Kitva La'oso Limud Lo Yadana. The Rosh says, I don't know how long this person can delay. Shelo Yitochen She is Batal Period of Rivya Kol Yomav. I mean, what does it mean? He can be Mabatal from Period of Rivya all his life? Shelo Matinu Zeh Ela Ben Azai Shachoshka Nafsho Batorah. Only Ben Azai was one where the Gemara said that he could do that because he was totally immersed in Torah study. The Harambam Mashma Desvirle Be'emes Ein Kitzva L'Davar. But says the Beis Shmuel that the Rambam is of the opinion that really there is no set time. What do you mean there's no set time? What does that mean there's no set time? That means he could delay for how long? As long as he wants. Ela benazai shechoshka nafsho batorah hoyolo heter levatol period verizya afal gav dehoyolo efsha liso isho velo yiyelo tircha misho mezonos. The difference between Ben Azai and another person who is involved in Torah study is that for Ben Azai, he was putter from Talmud, he was putter from period verizya, even if what? Even if it were possible for him to marry and not to be burdened with having to support his family. But somebody else, Sarah, who was involved in Torah study, but he's not like Ben Azai, Sarah somebody else who's studying Torah if it's not a tircha for him, if it wouldn't be a burden for him to provide for his family, then he's chayav to get married. Avo in yiyya tircha b'shvil mezonos, the yitra enam miskaber alav, muter lehis acher kol man, shen yitra miskaber alav, the en kitzvah l'davar. So what the, and if you look at other of the Meforshim on the Shulchan Aruch say the same thing. Now what is the Beis Shmuel saying? That somebody who's studying Torah, he is allowed, if, you know, having, getting married and supporting them is not a tircha for him, then he's supposed to get married. But if it's a tircha, then he's allowed to delay all his life. So now, I understand the Mechaber. What would then the whole Mechaber be saying? A person who is not studying Torah, what? He's allowed to delay, but not all his life. He has to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Truah Vuh. So then the delay would have to be temporary. But somebody who is studying Torah and is involved in it, and he's able to control his Yetzer Hara, and providing for a family would be a burden for him, then he is allowed to delay all his life. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch would be saying according to the Pesach Tshuva. So, right away what you see that this is, there's not one opinion on this matter. So right away you see that according to the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, as explained by the Pesach Tshuva, a delay in the mitzvah of Truah Vuh is permitted. This is what you see. Now it's true the Rambam would disagree, but the Shulchan Aruch did not paskin like the Rambam. This is what I'm trying to show you. Now, I just want to show you, if we continue on page 3, I just want to show you one of the other Rishonim. There's the Tshuva of the Rashba. Let's go through this. Misha Nishba, Shlo Yisa Isha Azman Yodua. What if a person took a shvuah, took a vow, an oath, that he doesn't want to marry a woman until a very specific time arrives? Mi medami lo lahu Yerushalmi shebi shehevi harav dehochot tzochim shvuah shlo ochal, now that next word should be mem tzadihei, shlo ochal matzah v'chule. The question was, what if a person took a shvuah not to eat matzah at the earliest possible moment, the night of the 15th of Nisan? What if he said, oh, I'm going to wait about 5 hours before I eat the matzah? Now, we know the din is that to take a shavuah that violates the Torah, such a shavuah is not effective. Any shavuah that is levato, a law of the Torah, is not a shavuah. So the question here is, what if a person takes a shavuah to put off marriage for a certain amount of time? Or the parallel case would be, what if a person takes a shvuah that I'm not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah right away? I want to wait 5 hours into the evening. That was the, so the question is this considered to being taking a vow, taking an oath, which is mevato the mitzvah of the Torah? So look what his answer is. Tshuva, shvuah hi chola. The shvuah does take effect. This is not considered to be a shavua that is violating a mitzvah of the Torah. The efshar l'kayim zevzeh, because you can fulfill both. You can fulfill your vow, your oath, and you can also fulfill the mitzvah. So right away you stop right there. It sounds like from the Rashba that a delay, putting off, taking a shavua that I'm going to delay in the mitzvah of Truah Vuh, sounds like to him it's not being mevatel the mitzvah, it's not a shavuah mevatel the mitzvah, because efshar l'kayim zevzeh, you could be mekayim both. V'lo zu bovad, she'ein zman bahul. And not only the case of marriage where there is no pressing need to marry immediately, like bahul means to be excited, to be hurried. El afilu b'mitzvah she'zman bahul, even if you have a mitzvah where you have time constraints, where you have to do it within a certain time. Kamila b'yom hachet. In nishbash lo yimol baboker at arba v'chameshos, o shenishbash lo yochal matzah shor rishona shol laila, mekayim shvuoto, mishtaha adzman shenishba, kol shekein zeh shein zmano bahul. Certainly in the case of meal, if a person took a shvuah that I'm going to do the meal in the afternoon, or he took a shvuah that I'm going to eat my matzah 5 hours into the night, he can fulfill his shvuah, which means he'll wait the 5 hours, and then he'll fulfill the mitzvah. There's no problem, there's no conflict. This also sounds like that a delay in a mitzvah is not considered to be a bittul of that mitzvah. Okay, so this is one piece of what I wanted to show you. I'm going to try to maybe just go a little bit faster. I won't be able to read everything. I'll just tell you. Let me now address the other issue, and that is, what about Zrizah Matim and Lemitzvah? What about that issue? Now, the Gemara says that many, many times that there is a concept of Zrizah Matim and Lemitzvah, and Lechara, that should be applicable to the mitzvah of Pru Revuah. Why not? That we should be conscientious and try to fulfill the mitzvah at the earliest opportunity. What I want to show you, though, is the following. What will be, if you have the following conflict, what will be is that if you delay in performing the mitzvah will be performed in a much more dignified manner than if you did it right away. So you have the following choice. I could do it right away because Zrizah Matim LeMitzvah, but if I delay, I would be able to fulfill the mitzvah in a much more ideal manner. And this issue came up with regard to Kiddush Levana. Well, and the question was the following. Let's say you want to be Mekadesh the Levana. So the question was, maybe I should wait until Motzoi Shabbos, which is what people do. Have you done anybody after Shabbos is over? Everybody goes and Mekadesh Levana. Did you ever ask yourself, what's going on? Why do we have to do it after Shabbos is over? What's so special about Motzoi Shabbos and Mekadesh the Levana? The answer is because everybody is dressed so nicely. We're wearing our Shabbos clothing. So if we go out with Mekadesh Levana with our Shabbos clothing on, it's much more dignified than to wear our everyday whatever. So the question is the following. Let's say you could be Mekadesh the Levana already a week earlier, or let's say 5-6 days earlier. Am I allowed to postpone Kiddush Levana, even though I'm foregoing Zrizah Matim and LeMitzvah, in order to be able to perform the mitzvah in a nicer, more dignified manner and wait until Saturday night? That was the question. That was the question that the Trumas Hadeshin dealt with. So we're just going to read the beginning of it. He cites a Gemara in Yevamos, which we just, it'll take me too long to go through it, so we're not going to be able, you can do it yourself, and if you catch me in the building, you can ask me about it if you want to. So take a look at, this is the She'ela. Haro Levana b'chidusha b'imei hachol. V'omer namten levarech al chidusha ad l'motzoi Shabbos. Yofehe mosim alav. Person can already be Mekadesh Levana during the week. But he says, you know, I want to put it off until Saturday night. Is this proper or not? So look at the tshuva. Yeroa de yesh lechalek bedavar. Hecho delel mosoi Shabbos habo bekorov. Eino leilos harbe bachodesh. Kigon zayin ochet bachodesh. Shafilu im yehe ma'onon. The mosoi Shabbos. Ubeis v'gimel odal leilos acharov adayin yesh man levareich. At sof lel tesvog, kahai gavne yofel lahamtin ad motzoi Shabbos. What means is the following. In other words, by putting it off until Saturday night, you run the risk that you might not be able to be Mekadesh the Levana. Because what if you put it off until Saturday night and it's a cloudy night? You can't see the Levana. So says the Trumas Hadeshin the following. If that first motzoi Shabbos is early in the month, that I have at least another 3-4 days until I reach the 15th of the month, which is the deadline for Kiddush Levana. So even if it should turn out that Saturday night, if it's a cloudy night, I won't be able to say it, but I still have several days in which I could say it. Then, says the Trumas Hadeshin, it's preferred to forego Zrizah Matim and LeMitzvah and to wait until Saturday night to perform the mitzvah in a more dignified manner. This is what the Trumas Hadeshin says. If you turn to the top, I'm sorry, I can't go through the rest of it with you, but if you look at the top of page 4, this is exactly how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The top of page 4. Ein mevorachen al hayoreach el b'motzoi Shabbos kishahu mevusam ubgadav na'im, that a person should not be makadosh the levana until matzoi Shabbos, when he is dressed so nicely and he's perfumed, I guess, whatever. So it's much more dignified. He should wait until then. And the Ramah there says, provided, of course, that you have several days after Motzoi Shabbos to still fulfill the mitzvah so that you don't run the risk of being mevatel the mitzvah. So what you see from this, and this is no one argues, this is how we paskin, that drizim madim and mitzvah doesn't always apply. That you see that drizim madim and mitzvah only will not apply if by waiting the mitzvah can be performed in a more dignified or more ideal manner. And of all places, we see it. It came out by the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Okay. So, let me show you now something else. All right, so let me then just say something before I go on. So, as far as the mitzvah itself, is a delay in the mitzvah itself considered to be a bittul of the mitzvah? We see it's a machlokas rishonim. It's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh, but again, I preface that the Rosh, as understood by the Pesachei Tshuva, by the Ma'ari Kash, Rav Yaakov Kastro. And according to Rav Yaakov Kastro, his understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, which is a quote of the Rosh, that it's all that a delay is permissible, provided, of course, that the person has every intention of getting married. That's one issue. And the second thing that we've just seen is that Drizim Akdimim L'Mitzvah has its limitations. That if the mitzvah can be performed in a more ideal manner, then one should postpone and wait for that ideal setting. And that's why I'm going to talk more about it in my closing remarks. But right away, I see here that the notion that somehow the moment you get married, you right away have to try to have children is not so simple. On the one hand, is there a bittul of the mitzvah itself through your postponement? According to the Shulchan Aruch, no. Would you be violating Drizim Akdimim L'Mitzvah? Well, that depends. I'm going to talk more about it later. Well, that would depend if by postponing the mitzvah, maybe you'll be able to perform the mitzvah. What does it mean to perform the mitzvah? It's not just having the children, it's caring for them, raising them, being a parent to them. If by waiting, you'll be able to be mekayem that mitzvah in a more ideal manner, then Drizim Akdimim L'Mitzvah is put aside. So to me, right away, there is room here for a delay. And the notion that, number one, that you're being mevatel the mitzvah in the delay, it's not really uniformly accepted. The Shulchan Aruch, as understood by the Pesachei Tshuva, does not agree. And as far as Drizim Akdimim L'Mitzvah, as I just pointed out, you could also put that aside if a delay will improve that the mitzvah will be performed in a more ideal manner. But now I want to show you something else, which to me, I was so struck by this. I was just really floored. You'll see it too. I just cannot believe that that there is such a tshuva. If you look back, I didn't read the Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch that we were working on. If you look back at the Ramah, page 2, the bottom of page 2, in the Haggah, in the Ramah, Ubizman hazeh, nohagu shlo lokov alzeh. This is, the Mechaber had just said that if somebody doesn't want to get married, then Bezdin will force him to get married. So says the Ramah that Bizman hazeh, we don't force people anymore. The chayin mi shalokiyang period of the rivya, and so to somebody who is not yet makayim period of the rivya, who boldly saw isha sheina bas banim, he now wants to marry a woman who is not capable of having children. To go on akara, she's barren. To kena, she's old. O Ketana, or she's a child. Now that's an interesting example, because it sounds like, let me just keep going. Nishum shechoshek ba, o nishum mamon shalom. You'll see why he mentions that. Apo pishin midina hoya limchos bo, even though minadin, we should reprimand such a person who wants to marry, let's say, an elderly woman for her money. Lonagu mikama doros ledakdek de inyan hazivugim. He says the custom has been for many several generations not to pay attention to the marital affairs of people. Vavilu nosa isha vishoha ima asarashanim. And even if a man married a woman and they were together for 10 years without a child, and you know the Gemara says that he's supposed to divorce her. Says the Rama, Lo nagu lo kofoso begosha. The custom has been not to force, even though the Gemara says to force. Apo pishlo kin peria berivya. Bechein bishaar in yonei zivugim. And the same thing is true with other marital issues between couples. He says we don't force. Ugovad shlote asura olav. The only time that he says that Bezdin will interfere is what if the two people who are married to each other are forbidden to each other. But as long as they're not forbidden to each other, we're not going to force. Now the Ramah did not make this up. He didn't say this on his own. As you can see, it's based on the tshuva of the Rishbash. And I just want to show you, that's what I gave you at the end. On page 4, I gave you the tshuva of the Rishbash. Actually, the tshuva is a lot bigger. I just gave you just one piece of it. Where the question that was sent, it was almost comical a little bit, the question that was sent to the Rishbash was, there was this young man, he wanted to marry a zakena for her money. She needed a companion, and he needed money. That's the case. So they wanted to get married. So the community was up in arms, and they wanted to stop him. And he went to complain to the secular government that they're interfering with his life. So they all made a compromise that they're going to go send the shaylah to the Rishbash, and they're going to follow what he said. And this is the tshuva. So in the beginning, the first half of the tshuva, he writes that min hadin, the community has every right to force him not to marry this woman. But then look what he says. Omnam kol ze shuras hadin lefi hagemara. Avo manasa shelo ra'inu b'yomeinu. He says, what shall we do? We have never seen, says the Rishbash, v'lo shamanu mikama doros Bezdin shenizkak lozeh. We have not seen for several generations that Bezdin involved themselves in this. Lakof ulahotzi b'isha sheshasa imbala esheshanim v'lo yolda. Like, for example, the case of a man who's married for 10 years and she didn't have a child yet. Oh, she's a kaino, or she's past the age of childbearing. And if you look a little bit further, I just want to... There's one line in here which just struck me. One second to find it. I know it's here. Oh, one second. Can you find the sentence where he says "Helimu einehem"? Anybody see it? Where is it? Eight lines from the top. From the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, look at the last 8 lines. Look what he says. V'loze he'elimu chachmei hadoros es einehem b'inyonei hazivugim shelo l'manon ein tzarech lomar shelo l'habridon kol sheshneihem rotsim ve'ein benesuin hahem lo mishum erva ve'lo mishum iser kedusha v'day lohem ladunam al pi hadin kishyesh machlokes ben ish le'ishto al zeh. Look what he says. He says that this has been the practice, the doros, he writes. This is the Rivash. He lived, what, 14th, 15th century? He says this was the practice, the doros, that what did the Chachamim of his time and previous generations do? He says, he'alimu enehem, they hid their eyes. You get the metaphor. They hid their eyes from what people were doing. What does that mean, they hid their eyes? They didn't pay attention at all to what people were doing, even though what the people were doing was totally utter. They hid their eyes from it. And they would only get involved if what? If there was either if they were utter to each other, or there was a machlokis between the couple, and they needed someone to adjudicate for them, so they would come to the Chachamim of their time. But otherwise, the Chachamim stepped aside. I thought that was such a powerful, I couldn't believe it. And this is what the Ramah is paskening in Shulchan Aruch. And I think that, let me talk about now, to give you my feelings on this topic. I'm going to say things that to me are Dvarim Pshutim Ma'od, but I think they need to be said. The Gemara says, tells us, Gemara in Brachos, that Kishem Sheparsufehem Shonos, Kach Deosehem Shonos. The Gemara says that just as the facial features of people are different, so are their thoughts. No two people look alike. No two people think alike. People have different thoughts. They have different emotions. And we are all a product of our environment, how we were raised from childhood, the kinds of people that raised us, how did we interact with them? How did we interact with friends? How did we interact with people that we've met? How did we interact with our schoolmates? All these things go into shaping a person, how he or she is, how they think, and most importantly, how they feel. And no two people think alike or feel alike. And I think that to me is a very, very simple but very profound statement. And I think we have to tell this to ourselves every single day. We are not all peas in a pod. Every single one of us is different. And we are different because of the way we were brought up, the way we were raised. It's also due to genetics. We are all different. We think differently, we react differently. We are different. Just as your facial features are different. That's how natural our thinking and our emotions are different. Let me talk about when two young people decide to get married. It's a wonderful thing. They fall in love, they want to get married. There is a period of adjustment that every single couple has to make. Now the Torah says, Al ken yazov ishas other vizim of the davak v'ishto v'hoyu l'basar achad. You ever think about what that means, v'hoyu l'basar achad? I think Rashi says it means by having a child. But others learn that they're supposed to become like basar achad, like one unit. How in heaven's name do two people who are different become one unit? In order to be able to become one unit, the only way you could do that is you have to understand your spouse. What does it mean to understand your spouse? You have to know, let me talk from the woman to the man, but the same thing will be in the reverse. You have to know how he feels. You have to be able to share in his joy. You have to be able to share in his pain. You have to be able to have to empathize, to be empathic. You have to be able to sense when he's nervous, when he's stressed out. You want to be there for him, to be a helpmate when he needs your help. And you very much want that he should feel the same way towards you. Now, when you get married, as much as you think that you know the person that you're marrying, and I'm sure you take the time to get to know the person as best you can, there still needs to be a period of adjustment. You got to get used to the person. You got to get to know what he is, what he likes, what he dislikes, how he reacts to things. Does he get anxious? Does he get nervous? Is he traumatized easily? And the same thing is you, how he looks at you. Everybody has to adjust, without exception. The difference is, how do people adjust to this? How do people react to this? And the answer is, everybody reacts differently. You know why? Because Kishen Shepartzufehem Shonos, Kach Deosehem Shonos. Your level of anxiety is different than the next person's level of anxiety. The tension that you feel is different than the next person. The way you react is different. The way you're going to react with your spouse is in a certain way. Different than the way your friends. You can have friends who you think you grew up together with and you think you know them. You will be reacting differently than they are, simply because you're different. And being different, and I think this is a very important point, because I think there's a lot of guilt that people feel. Being different is not an indication that you're weak. It's not an indication that you're immature. And it's certainly not an indication that you're a failure. You're different because who you are is different. And that's okay. That's what makes the world so exciting, is that people are different. I think we would be very bored to death if everybody was the same. Now, when a couple, after they get married, and now they're contemplating having children, that is another period of adjustment that needs to be made. You know, I don't have a job yet, I'm in school, I don't have parents who could help me, I still want to pursue an education, I want to pursue a career, I have to find some babysitter. What if I don't find someone that I like? What if it's just mediocre? What do I do? Maybe I should go to work part-time. Maybe my spouse should go to work part-time. When you contemplate having children, these are the things that you have to think about. You got to work it out. Find a way to adjust. Everybody has to adjust. And the difference is how you adjust. Everybody adjusts differently. And they adjust differently. Why? Kishem shepartzufehem shonos, kach deosehem shonos. That's why we adjust differently. Now you might be able to react in a very calm way. And even though you're still in school, you're young, you have no money, you have no parents who are wealthy enough to help you out, you're able to just to go with the punches, to go with the flow, and you can adjust, and that's great. Then you have people who are a little bit more nervous, a little more anxious, the anxiety level is a little higher, they feel a little bit overwhelmed, a little traumatized, and they don't seem to react like your friend that you're looking at, as though you know how your friend is really reacting. You feel a little more anxiety. How am I going to do this? How am I going to work it out? Will my spouse be there to help as much as he says he will. How am I going to manage? It's not the money. It's not the school. What's important is how you react to it. It's the emotional and psychological reaction that I'm concerned about. That's what's important. Now, when you are now dealing with two major adjustments in your life, number one, adjusting to a husband, and number two, adjusting to the prospects of having children, who knows you the best? Who knows how you are reacting to these things? Who knows you? Does your mother know you? Does your father know you? Does your best friend know you? Does your spouse even know you yet, especially early in the marriage? Who knows you? Does your rabbi know you? You know who knows you? You. You're the only one who knows you. Because you know deep down how you feel. You know how you react. You know what buttons are pushed when certain things happen. Nobody else knows. Even in to your best friend, you might not confide. Even if you do confide, your best friend still doesn't know you the way you know yourself. And this is why I think that when it comes to the issue of birth control, every single person is different. What works for you might not work for your friend, and vice versa. And how will a determination be made as to whether you should put off having children? Maybe I should wait 6 months or a year. Maybe until I finish school, until my husband gets a job, or until I can get a job or work part-time. Every single person reacts to these pressures differently. Now, who's going to decide this for you? Now, the point that I tried to show you from the Shulchan Aruch is that, which to me is standing on very solid ground, that a delay is permitted, and even as far as Rizam Adimim Mitzvah can be put aside if there's a more ideal time to fulfill the mitzvah. If you feel that you need to wait, and it's not because of the money. I don't care about the money. I'm concerned about what the lack of money does to you psychologically. That's what I care about. That's what's important. Who's going to know the psychological reaction you're going to have, really going to have? This is why I feel that the Ramah, with the tshuva of the Riva, should be followed here. I think the Rabbanim are very well-meaning, and I think they're trying to do what is best for Klal Yisrael. But I think that the role of a posek, who is letting you all know that it's basically usher, unless you get a heter, can be harmful. Because they don't know you. They don't know you. And even if you say, well, he's my rabbi, he's the rabbi Meshua, I've gone to shul for all my life, he still doesn't know you. And especially if the rabbi that you're going to be seeing is your husband's rabbi, he certainly doesn't know you. Now, it might turn out that whatever the rabbi says might turn out for the best. Everything might work out. But I am concerned about, for those few or how many they are, for those couples where it does not work out. There are problems. My wife is a psychoanalyst, and I've discussed with her different kinds of cases that come up, and I've discussed it with other psychotherapists in the field. And they have all told me the same thing. There's a very high incidence of divorce. Young couples, there are a lot of problems, and the problems are compounded because they have children as well. Let me just mention one case that a therapist told me that this therapist had, just to illustrate, that there was this couple, this woman married, and when she married her husband, she had some reservations as to whether she should marry him or not. But she decided to marry him, and they got married. And after the marriage, she still had some lingering doubts about him, and she wanted to use birth control. So they went to a Rav. So the Rav asked them, is there anything that I should know about your situation? Now, she was embarrassed to say in front of her husband, who was there, that my problem is that maybe I don't want to be married to you. So she said, no, there's no problem. Nothing else needs to be told. And they didn't get a heter, and they had a child, and the marriage did not work out, and they eventually divorced. Now, I'm not saying that chas v'chalil, this is going to happen. All I'm saying that is a possibility as to what could happen. Now, why did it happen? Because the Rav didn't know. It wasn't his fault. He didn't know what's going on in the mind of this woman. He didn't know what was bothering her. But I don't need such an extreme case to say the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is, even if it doesn't result in that kind of an extreme result, we are not obligated to suffer. Marriage and children should be something happy. There's responsibility and there's pain. But we should try to do it in the way that we think works best. And who knows what is best for you? Who knows what anxiety level you can tolerate? Even you know. And the truth is, even sometimes you don't know yourself, but you find out afterwards. So I think, now one other thing that I want to mention, and that is, I know people have talked about this, the idea of control and personal autonomy, that somehow it's a chisaron in our emunah if we don't want to have control over our situation, but rather we should act sort of spontaneously and sort of just don't worry about anything, just go ahead and do it. I don't think that having control or feeling some degree of control or having personal autonomy is an indication of a lack of faith. I don't think so at all. Ein somchen al hanes. We don't live our lives that way. Right? When you cross the street, you look both ways. You don't say, well, if God wants me to live, the car won't hit me, and I'll cross the street with my eyes closed. That's meshuggah. We do want to have control. And that's not a bad thing. That's part of being a human being. You want to have control of what you can. But you want to lead a healthy, normal life. Personal autonomy is, to me, basic. It's fundamental to being a mature, healthy adult. And therefore, I feel that in our time, the advice of the Rama and the Rivash should be considered, should be taken very seriously, that Rabbanim should not be paskening so much in this area. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't go for advice. If you're not, let's say you have this anxiety, you want to wait, but you're not sure why. You're not sure what's bothering you. Then you should seek advice, whether it's to go to a Rav, to go to a wise person, or even professional counselor. You should do it. The truth, I think everybody should be in therapy. I think it's healthy for everybody. Do everybody a lot of good. But this is something that I feel very strongly about. It doesn't mean that you disrespect Rabbanim. It doesn't mean that at all. I have the greatest respect, and I think they're doing a great job. They are trying so hard to do what's best for Klal Yisrael. My feeling is that it could backfire because they can't know the people as that well. As much as they try, they can't know them. Because only the person, you know yourself. And even then, maybe you don't know yourself that well. And you don't know what's going to be. You just know you have this feeling of anxiety which is pushing you that you want to delay. We're not talking about couples who are not sensitive to the halacha. If they're not sensitive to the halacha, they're not going to bother to ask. They'll do what they want anyway. We're talking about people who are sensitive to the halacha. And I don't want to minimize the importance of the mitzvah. It's a great and important mitzvah to have children and to have as many as you can. And I'm not minimizing it. Lehetach. But we have to do it in a way that works for us. And what works for you does not necessarily work for someone else. And that's what the Gemara said, Kishen Sheparsufehem Shonos, Kach Deosehem Shonos. Thank you.